renew and to reconnect. Rest, renew, and to reconnect. And praise God for us as a family, we're able to rest, we're able to go on a holiday, we're able to enjoy one another, God's creation, and see Aaron grow. We're able to have a lot of good American barbecue. We went to the Midwest, and we were able to renew as well, spiritually asking God to place vision and clarity in our hearts and minds for ourselves in our own faith journey, but also for God's people, the church. And lastly, we're able to reconnect in Australia with family and friends. And that was a very special moment because for my parents, it was the first time for them to see Aaron. And a lot of my cousins and uncles and aunties was the first time for them to see me, even for after 5 years. They weren't that interested in me. Like 5 years, right? Come out of the airport gates, my parents don't even look at me. They just run immediately to Aaron. So it was a wonderful time of reconnecting. And that's all to say, I've been missing you guys a lot. And I know God's purposes for me as the pastor here hasn't changed. As I was having those quiet moments with God, as I was seeking Him about vision and clarity for the future, the Lord placed two things upon my heart, and I want to share them today, is to continue to focus all my energy and efforts into leading you guys into a deeper love for Jesus. That's not going to change. And I want to do that through opening up His Word, through teaching through His Word. I want to open our hearts and minds to the Spirit's work in delivering and healing us. And in midweek gatherings, whatever it may be, I want to take you guys on a journey for you guys to have a deeper love for Jesus, to seek His love and to love Him back. That's first and foremost. Second, the Lord has placed in my heart that we need to see a kingdom culture penetrate into Silicon Valley, a different type of culture. A culture where it's not about one's achievements, one's finances. A lot of that has filled our society, our valley, with anxiety, depression, a lot of people living without true purpose. But a kingdom culture is different, where we boast in our weakness so that the strength of Christ may rest upon us. We are not weighed down by the pressures of this valley, but rather we are constantly filled with joy. That's a kingdom culture. A culture that is so upside down that people look at us and they see Jesus. So pray for me as I continue to do those two things that the Lord has placed in my heart. Now, as most of you know, we've been going through the Gospel of Mark. And praise God, these last 2 months, it's been really exciting to tune in and to see that each week you guys have been led through these series of messages in the lead up to the ultimate act in human history, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And so we're going to take a break from that this morning. And for all of October, we're going to go some topical messages on the topic of missions. And then we're going to resume the Gospel of Mark in November. Because starting today, we've put October aside to bring to the forefront of our minds and our hearts God's mission for His people. Whether it's learning about different missions or organizations, whether it's about listening to missionaries on the field, whether it's going out to Operation Dawn Ministry, it's important that we set these times aside to see that God's purposes for humanity, and that is to see a whole bunch of people brought to His kingdom. So today I'm launching an important message by talking about how you and I, though we are in this world, we are not of this world, but we are sent into this world to accomplish a task that is heavy yet joyful, a task that is of utmost importance to every single person here in this room, and a task that is very important to those out there, and that is to go and tell people about the love of Jesus. So today's message, I want to encourage all of you by speaking on the topic of not of this world, but sent into this world. That's my sermon title for today. Not of this world, but sent into this world. Let's pray. Father God, we thank You for this time where we can open up Your Word, where we can be with Your people and celebrate communion later. Lord, be with us through Your presence and let Your Spirit work mightily in our hearts, in my heart and in the congregation's heart. And all those who couldn't join us today, whether they're sick or unwell or traveling, Lord, I ask that You also be with them and those who are tuning in as well. Lord, we thank You. We pray all this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, during our sabbatical, Ruth and I were able to go back to Melbourne, Australia for a month to spend time with family and friends. And it was great, you know, because as I said before, I haven't seen my family for 5 years. So you can imagine the type of reunions that we had. And they're like, oh, like ni sola, or like, you know, ni pangla, and all that kind of stuff, right? But this time it was different because we brought Erin. And we were like, oh, we have to, you know, show her off to our family and friends and show her where mom and dad grew up. And I took her to the park that I grew up. And it was just a wonderful time. And so initially it was great. Rinf and I were able to have a lot of downtime. We're able to go on dates and leave Erin with the grandparents. And we're able to go to the cafes that we used to go to. We used to go to like the parks and you know, a lot of dinners and whatnot. But one day as Rinf and I were having coffee together, we started to chat about how we've both felt being back. And we both agreed and came to the conclusion that we were feeling this sort of tension. Not with family or anything like that, not in our marriage, but it was hard for us. It was actually really hard for the first couple of days. I would say it was actually hard for us for the first 2 weeks in Australia. Because we have grown up in Australia all our lives, but at the same time, for the last 7 years, we've tried so hard in establishing our lives here in the Bay. So a lot of mutual experiences were formed in the Bay. We had Erin, our daughter, here. We went through many ups and downs in life and in ministry here in the Bay. And so it's fair to say that at the same time, both of us have come to appreciate American way of life, right? And you can see that very clearly when you go back to Australia. We have bigger cups of coffee here, right? We have unlimited popcorn and soda here. We have freedom to do what you want, when you want. Australia is not that free. And so it's a sort of a strange feeling for us. Melbourne, Australia was home for 20 years of our lives, more than 20 years of our lives. But at the same time, Bay Area was home as well. And a lot of you first-generation migrants, you guys also feel this tension too, right? You know, Taiwan is home, and you grew up in Taiwan or China or Hong Kong, and then you come to the Bay, but then you feel this sort of tension. When you go back to your hometown, you're like, is this home? I've been here growing up 30 years of my life, but then I've tried the last 15 years to establish my life in the Bay. So we're feeling this type of tension. And it got me thinking, many of us who have come to follow Christ Jesus, we are also living in this tension. See, we live here on this earth, right? Here in the US, California. But at the same time, we know deep down in the recesses of our soul, it's not our forever home. Because we have an eternal home waiting for us, heaven. And so we're constantly in this tension of being in this world, but not of this world. You see, to put it like this, our feet are planted in the soil. We have green cards. We have citizenships. Our schools, our homes, our businesses are here in the Bay. But at the same time, as Christians, we have this heavenly citizenship, a heavenly passport, a heavenly city, where we get to be with Jesus forever, restored to our original image. So we're constantly in this tension. We're in the world, establishing ourselves here, but knowing at the same time, it's not our ultimate destination. So there are Christians who struggle with this. They see earth as their forever home. So they do whatever it takes, and they get caught up in the patterns of this world, and they forget their identity as Christians. There are also Christians who shy away from the culture and the world, and stick to this so-called holy club, the holy church, and have nothing to do with people out there. So we're in this constant tension. What should we do? Today I want to talk to you and launch today's mission topic by telling all of us that we have a God-given assignment and we have a God-given purpose to go and tell people about Jesus and to reveal Jesus to those around us. You see, you and I are in this world for a reason. Not to run away from culture, not to shy away from these hard topics, but to engage with it and be used by God to be a light and to be salt in this dark world. And so to help us look at this, I want you guys to turn to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, verse 13 to 19. You can get out on your smartphones or your hard copy Bibles. John 17, 13 to 19. And I want to briefly explore the prayer of Jesus for his disciples. This is before Jesus went to be with the Father. In John chapter 17, verses 13 to 19. Now I am coming to you. I told them many things while I was with them in this world, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They do not belong to this world any more than I do. Make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. And I give myself as a holy sacrifice for them, so they can be made holy by your truth. Now, here's a little bit of context. Jesus was preparing his followers for his impending death. And in the lead up, Jesus is equipping his disciples to show them that, hey, this is what's going to happen. But don't be afraid. And so the disciples, they were able to listen in and tune in to this conversation between Jesus and God the Father. So here's what we have, right? The disciples are going to be left in a very dark place. It's going to be very scary for them. There's going to be a lot of ridicule. They're going to be mocked. They're going to be scorned. And they're going to even face death and hostility from the Roman emperor and the religious elite. So it's fair to say that these followers of Jesus, after Jesus leaves, it's not going to be a good place for them. So Jesus takes this time to pray for his disciples, interceding on their behalf to God the Father. Think about that. Jesus prays for his disciples, interceding on their behalf. Now, some of us have experienced in this life what it's like for someone else interceding for us, right? It's actually quite a good feeling. I remember when I was a kid, I was really naughty, and then my mom was about to smack me. Guess who interceded on my behalf? My grandma. You know, buke da ben, right? And then my mom didn't touch me, right? This time was very funny because when Erin was fooling around and I wanted to smack her hand, my dad said, if you touch her, I'm going to hit you. You know, so it's just funny how things turn out, right? They were interceding on behalf of Erin. So imagine that. We have the Son of God, Jesus, the Holy and Anointed One, interceding on behalf of the disciples to his Father. What comfort does that bring to all of us today? Now, what's surprising is this. Jesus doesn't pray to God like this. God, take my beloved disciples out of this world. He doesn't say that. Nor does he say, God, just send rescue planes and get them out of this region. No, he doesn't say that at all. He says, keep them in this world and keep them safe from the evil one. Think about it. If you were a disciple nearby and you listen to this prayer in the background, I'll be hoping that Jesus will pray to the Father to get us out of this place, right? There's going to be a lot of persecution. I mean, getting eaten by lions, losing our homes, families and friends mocking us, being stoned, being mocked, laughed at the local shops. You know, that's not nice stuff. But you know what Jesus does? Jesus doesn't make that sort of prayer. Rather, he prays that they will be kept safe from the evil one. Kept safe from the evil one. We know because of sin entering into this world, the evil one has a grasp on this world. And Jesus recognizes that the power of Satan and his efforts to bind the children of God to dishearten and to destroy their faith. So Jesus prays, keep them safe from the evil one. Why does he do that? Why does he say, keep them in this world, but keep them safe from the evil one? Because Jesus knows that the disciples and each and every one of us here, followers in the 21st century, have a special task to do in this world. And that is to be sent into the world, to win this world for Jesus. You see, the job's not done yet, friends. There is still so much to do. And that was the sole purpose for the disciples, to be kept in the world, to continue the mission of Jesus. Everything that they were taught from the words of Jesus must continue to spread throughout every region and every soul. Likewise, it's the same for us today. Every word that we have been taught by the word of God through his word must continue in every city, in every state, to every single friend and family member. The job, there's still so much to do. And in verse 17, Jesus comforts them and he prays this. Verse 17, he says, make them holy by your truth. Teach them your word, which is truth. So Jesus prays that in the midst of hostility and persecution, not only will they have joy in the midst of all this, but they may be made holy by the truth. To be holy is to be distinct, to be separate, to be set apart for certain purposes for God. For example, in the Old Testament, the priests were called to be holy, to be set apart, to offer sacrifices to God. The early prophets were set apart for sacred duty, reserved only for God. So that prophet or priest will only do what God loves and will hate all that God hates. That is what it means to be holy. So what does that look like in our culture today? To be set apart, to be holy. Does it mean we revert back to the priests or the prophets and we cover our heads to toes and not engage in the culture or have eye contact with people in the world or hide away even in the farms and grow our own vegetables? Some Christians have done that. You know, they've gone away into the farms to grow their own potatoes and own vegetables separate from the world. I think practically in our culture, in our schools, at our workplaces, you and I, to be holy, is that we have to stand out and be a different voice in this generation. To do the work of God, to be of service to Him, we need to be a different voice in this generation. To permeate His love and holiness in every area of society. That's how we're set apart to do the will of God. Not to be caught up in the patterns of this world or go with the cultural trends of this world, but Christians are to engage and to offer a different outlook and perspective. One that reflects God's character, His holiness, His wisdom, His beauty, His justice, His hope in all the different areas of our lives. How do we practically do that? Well, when Christians offer a different voice, a different perspective in this generation, it means this, that, hey, we don't make the same jokes as people do at school. We don't partake of those foolish behaviors that our college friends partake of. We don't glory in our achievements or our finances among our colleagues or friends. We don't boast with arrogance about our education in front of our family members. We don't get easily angry like some others do over certain situations. When gossip takes place, we're a different voice because we choose not to entertain those thoughts and engage with the gossip. Now, does that mean we can still be in the presence of those of the world? Yes, we can be in their presence, but we can decide to step away and not partake in those times of gossip or foolish behaviors because we are revealing to them that we're a different voice in this generation. We're revealing to them that, hey, we're different. We offer a different perspective. You see, as Christ followers, you and I are a mouthpiece of God, and we want to be speaking blessing, encouragement. We want to be about building people's lives up. We want to be about humility and love. You see, what is coming from our lips and going forth into the people's ears is not what everyone else is doing or saying, but it's a different perspective, a heavenly one. You and I were called to be ambassadors of God. You see, when we represent the most holy and most glorious God in heaven and on earth, since He is holy, pure, and righteous, we are His children because we are representing Him. I have a good friend in Australia, and his dad is an ambassador to Australia back in the days, a Taiwan ambassador to Australia. And every time I hung out with my friend, he would always wear a suit and tie, and you know, he would be very proud that his dad's the ambassador of Taiwan to Australia. So he will always say, you know, like, oh, because of my dad's job and all that, because he was representing his father. Every time I hung out with him, he was always very well dressed up. You know, it was a bit too much sometimes, but he was very proud because he was representing his father, who was the ambassador. Likewise, as Christians, as sons and daughters, we are called to be holy and we are called to bring hope, peace, truth to those around us. And in verse 18, Jesus says, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world. Verse 18, just as you sent me into the world, I am sending them into this world. You see, Jesus is not asking for his disciples to be taken out of this world, but he's praying for them as they are sent into the world. You see, as Christ followers, the first point I want to talk about is that we are to engage with this culture and in this world and not to shy away from it. All right, as Christ followers, we are to engage with this world and not shy away from it. What does this mean? First, God wants Christians to be actively engaged in the world of lost people. Think about it. The Son of God, Jesus, was in the world. He wasn't isolated from worldly people. The Pharisees, the religious elite of those times, they thought in order to be holy, you had to avoid all contact with people who are unclean or sinners. But Jesus comes and he flips this cultural view upside down. He dined with the tax collector. He hung with the prostitute. He hung with the Samaritan, with all people, with all sorts of backgrounds that society deemed as unclean. Jesus was known as a friend of sinners. And if we want to be like Jesus, we need to be in the world, not isolated from sinful people. This is a problem I think the church faces today, many Christians face today. Once we get part of this holy club, this holy huddle, this holy church, we start to demonize people out there, right? Or those people who out there who like to drink. Or those people out there who like to take drugs. Or those people like there who boast in their riches and do all sorts of evil. And the more we demonize people out there in society, the more Christians stick to their Christian bubble, right? The more we demonize people out there, the more we stick to this holy huddle. You see, when I was a young man, young boy, I probably just started off middle school, my mom told me, Ben, there are two places that you can't go. The arcade and the internet cafe. The arcade and the internet cafe. Those are the bad kids. That's where the naughty kids hang out. And so as a young boy, I was always scared of those places. And one day I was in a dining hall and opposite there was an arcade. I peeked through and these kids were like shaking the machine and trying to get those, you know, the claw, the plush toys out. They were shaking the machine. I was like, oh man, my mom was right, you know. They're like, they are really bad kids. And one day, I didn't listen to my mom, an older kid at church says, you want to go to the internet cafe? And I was like, oh, you know, like, okay, I'll go with you. And when I went to the internet cafe, you know, these guys were gaming and they had a packet of cigarettes on the table. And I was like, my mom was right. They are naughty kids, you know. And I was so scared to have anything to do with these kids. What if they offer me a cigarette? You know, how do I say no? So from a young age, I was very scared of people like that. People who didn't dress like me. People who didn't go to youth group like me. People who didn't go to church like me. People who smoked or drank. The more I demonized people out there, the more I stuck to my holy bubble, the youth group, young adults fellowship. And I think this is the case for many Christians now. We're afraid to go out there. But let me ask you this. Who were we before God saved us? Who were we before we came to church? Think about it. Weren't we those people out there before God came and saved us? Weren't we people out there who were so quick to demonize now? Weren't we also caught up in the deadness of our sins and in foolish behaviors, partying, getting drunk and drinking, all that kind of stuff? Weren't we people out there before God saved us? You see, we must remember who we were. That's why the gospel is always preached, to remember who we are before God. And when we come to the realization that we are people out there and that we used to be people out there, we have a larger heart capacity to love the people out there. You see, the church has struggled with this all throughout the centuries. So what's happened is that many churches today, many Christians, we stay very comfortable in the four corners of this building. We stay hidden in this holy book club. But all the while, we're missing out on our God-given assignment. And when we don't fulfill our God-given assignment, then we're neglecting the will of God in our lives. We're failing to function as salt and light to this dark world. In other words, we are rendered ineffective in the kingdom of God. And there is no greater threat in the Christian life if he or she does nothing with what they've been given by God. You see, Jesus was in this world, but he was not isolated from worldly people. He was there with a mission to testify to the truth. He knew that some would not receive him, many others would not. We are to be in the world in the same way that our Savior was, and we are to relate graciously to those outside with the mission to testify to them the truth. And last but not least, we can do this month and going forward. We can go out with confidence. I'll get the worship team to come up as I wrap it up. You and I can go with confidence. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, it says, "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." Let me read that again. "But you belong to God, my dear children. You have already won a victory over those people because the Spirit who lives in you is greater than the Spirit who lives in the world." You see, in the face of ridicule, opposition, doubt posed by the evil one, the Word of God reminds us that we are children of God. We're born of God. We are people who have overcome. We are more than conquerors because of his life, death, and resurrection. And it's not because of our own efforts, but because of the one who is in us. God is greater than the one who is in the world. The Spirit of God who indwells in each believer is certainly greater than the powers of evil and darkness. And there is no greater power in the Spirit of God that will be able to destroy our work and plans for God. So knowing that, all of us, no matter what schemes or disheartening action or plan that the evil one has mustered up against us, we go with confidence, knowing that God is the one who goes ahead of us. So as I wrap it up this morning, there is a tension that we are born in this world. Our feet are planted in this world, but at the same time, we're made for a forever home with God in heaven. That is why we all have a mission. And the Word of God states, the world is fading away, along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. You and I are called to service, a mission to go and tell people about Jesus, a mission to go and make disciples, a mission to usher in heaven on earth. We must do that, not run away from it, but stay rooted in the Word of God, knowing that we are set apart. We are made holy by His truth, by the precious blood of Jesus. Knowing that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, His Word has been revealed to us through His life and ministry, and it is that by which we can go with confidence into this world. We don't want to be that angry Christian that does not want to engage with the world, nor do we want to be that Christian who is unfaithful, who does not speak truth or compromise the truth. We want to be that Christ follower today who can engage with wisdom, with holiness to the culture, be sent into the world to reach those outside and yet remain steadfast to the ways of Jesus. That's the type of Christian that we want to be. Not only this month, but for the months to come and for all our lives. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that though we are sent into this world, we are not of this world. And Lord, we have an eternity waiting for us. We have heaven waiting for us. But all the while we are living in this tension, help us to see that we have a mission to fulfill, a task that is not yet completed. So strengthen us by the power of your Spirit. Help us to go with full confidence in our workplace, in our schools, in our friends, in our conversations, in social media, in all the things that we do to declare and be a mouthpiece for who you are. Lord, help us to be bold and courageous in this time, in these end times. Help us to stand for truth and not shy away from engaging with culture. Lord, because we know this pleases you. Lord, we know that as we function as salt and light, we are fulfilling the God-given assignment that you have given in our hearts. Lord, help us to live a life with purpose. Help us to live this life that is pleasing to you. And we pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's stand, let's worship.